He who laughs first laughs last. That's the saying that I've heard all of my life, and I assume that you are probably familiar with it as well. And to me, it's sort of a proverb that I think is easily understood and undeniably true. It simply means that we may get the first laugh. In other words, we think that we have won, but that does not necessarily mean that we are going to prevail in the end. And that's why that this saying has led to another saying. Because it's also been said that he who laughs last laughs best. Now, although neither one of these two sayings are recorded in the scriptures, I believe that the idea or the principle is certainly there. In fact, Solomon said something very similar to this in Proverbs 14, verses 12 and 13, when he said that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then he went on to say, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Now listen, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Here Solomon is making it very plain that what starts off in laughter often ends entirely different. In fact, he says the end of mirth is heaviness. Now, you know, it's interesting to think about how God created all of us with the ability to laugh. And it involves a series of inarticulate sounds, usually with the mouth open in a wide smile. And when you think about it, a laugh can convey many things. And really, when you look in the scriptures, that's illustrated for us in different scenarios. But here's the point that I want to emphasize this morning. And that is, laughter is not simply a response to humor, or in other words, jokes, but really what we are talking about is a form of communication. In other words, it ties in with behavior, and it can actually reveal what is on the inside of a person's heart. Think about the following facts. First of all, infants laugh almost from birth. There's nothing cuter than to see a little tot, maybe 7 or 8 months old or whatever the case might be, and you have seen them as they begin to cackle and they laugh uncontrollably. And as I said, what a cute thing that is to observe. Not only that, but think about how that blind and even deaf people laugh. And so obviously, this is not just learned behavior, but as one psychologist said, we humans are hardwired to laugh. And that is certainly true. I'm told that we laugh something like 30 times as much when we are with other people as opposed to being alone. And I think the reason for that is obvious. In fact, if someone sees you by yourself and you're laughing uncontrollably, then they're probably going to think something with you is wrong. But you know, again, what this shows is that we're actually dealing with a form of communication more than anything else. I'm also told that the average person, I guess adults, laugh something like 17 times a day, while a child, we're told, laughs something like 150 times a day. And I'll let you figure out the significance of all that. But the main point that I'm trying to make this morning is that a laugh can convey many things. It can show hilarity. In other words, a sense of humor. You know what? It can hide insecurity. It can be a sign of embarrassment. You know, that's happened to me, and this is something that'll drive my wife crazy. I'll do something, and she'll get on to me about that, and I'm embarrassed, and then I get to laughing. And sometimes I can't quit. And it's not because I think what I did was cute, but I'm simply embarrassed for what I have done. It can indicate cynicism. In other words, unbelief. It can be sinister. It can be a wicked laugh. It can express joy. And that's why that we have all kinds of expressions for laughter. There are belly laughs. There are giggles and chuckles and belittling laughs. There are snickers and there are cackles, and we can go on and on and on. But I want us to understand this morning, as I've already alluded to, that this is indeed a Bible topic. In fact, in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, Solomon said, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." And he said, "There's a time to be born and a time to die." And you know what? He doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, "There is a time to weep and a time to laugh." Yes, certainly laughter has its proper place, and it can be a sign of good things. In fact, Solomon said in Proverbs 15 and verse 13 that a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. I think we all enjoy laughing from time to time. But you know what? Solomon also talks about the other side, because Solomon tells us that there is such a thing as the laughter of fools. And of course, that's something that we don't want to be found guilty of. Now listen, as I said, in the Word of God, really this is illustrated for us. There's all kinds of laughters. And I obviously don't have the time to notice several of them with you this morning. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to focus on one. And that is in the Word of God. I believe that we can read about the laughter of unbelief, the laughter of cynicism, if you please, as found in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis and verse 12. Now this has to do with Abraham and Sarah. You remember how that God had promised them that eventually they were going to have a son. And it was going to be through this son that all the promises that God made to them was going to come to pass. But the problem was, God has his own timetable sometimes of doing things, and it's not according to our timetable. And so years go by, and Abraham and Sarah are now up in years. In fact, Abraham is 100 years old and Sarah is 90 years old. And they're thinking to themselves, at least Sarah is, that she is past the point, past the age of being able to give Abraham a child. But you know what? Eventually God sends messengers. He sends some angels to Abraham, and they tell Abraham that your wife is going to have a son. And you know what? Sarah's in her tent, and she hears this conversation. And you know what the Bible says she does? The Bible says, "Therefore Sarah laughed," there it is, "she laughed within herself, saying, 'After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?'" Let me ask you this. Why do you think it was that Sarah laughed upon this occasion? I think that we have to conclude it was because of some cynicism on her part. And I say that because of the reaction it received by God himself. In fact, God said, "Why did Sarah laugh?" God said, "Is there anything too hard for me to do?" And you know, she became afraid. And she actually denied it. She said, "I didn't laugh." But you know what God said? God said, "Yes, indeed, you did laugh." Now, you know, I think it would be too harsh this morning to say that Sarah did not have any faith in God at all. But I think it is fair to say that she didn't have as strong a faith as she should have had to give her the strong conviction that she should have had in the promise of God. And that's the point that I want to leave you with this morning. And that is, when it comes to the promises of God as given to us in his word, those promises that come to us through Jesus Christ, listen, those promises are no laughing matter. And we need to have complete faith and complete trust in them. As the writer of Hebrews put it in chapter 10 and verse 23, he said, "Let us hold the profession of our faith without wavering." Listen now, "for he is faithful that promised." And you know what? Abraham and Sarah found that out. The Bible says in Genesis 21 and verse 1 that the Lord visited Sarah. You know what that means? That means God remembered her. There came a day when God kept his promise, and God saw to it that she bore Abraham a son. In fact, they named him Isaac. And this is amazing to me. Do you know what the name Isaac means? The name Isaac means laughter. That's what it means. In Genesis 21 and verse 6, Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. I want you to remember this, my friends and brethren. God is going to get the last laugh, if I may put it that way, with this old world. We can laugh at God's promises. We can mock them. Peter writes about that in 2 Peter 3, specifically in referring to the promise, in reference to the promise of the second coming of Jesus. And Peter says, there are those who will begin to doubt that and even scoff. They'll laugh at the idea that there will be a judgment day. But you know what Peter says? He says, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is going to get the last laugh on this old world. You mark that down. His promises are not a laughing matter, certainly on our part. We need to understand, we need to believe with all of our hearts, there is coming a judgment day. We are going to give an account unto God as to how we have lived and the decisions that we have made in this life. And if we really believe that with all of our heart, then surely we will see the need of being ready, of being prepared to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then to do our best to live a faithful Christian life. When is Jesus coming again? Well, Peter says, we don't know. But we know that he is. Remember, God has his own timetable. May not be yours, may not be mine. I don't know if we'll see it in our lifetime or not. Who knows? But we know this. As Brother Smith has already said, the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. That's no laughing matter. That's something we need to take seriously.